Hi guys, this is your host, Miss Anonymous. You are now checked into the rehab. What's up? I mean, I hope everyone's in an awesome, awesome, awesome mood because I'm fired up, partly because I just had coffee, but also because I've just been high on life. And because of that, I picked a juicy topic for today. And I'm going to be fully transparent. I did a bit of research on this topic because this is something that's occurred to me in the past where I've kind of questioned the advice that I've seen people give other people or people have given to me or people have expected from me. So I went on Google. By the way, today's topic is going to be how to get someone to want you. And it's going to be all encompassing. So it doesn't matter whether you're in a relationship, whether you're single, whether you're dating, whether you're married, this advice is going to apply to everyone across the board. So coming back to my Google search. So I went on Google because I was just curious to see what are some of the information that's out there. And it was mind-boggling to me that most of the advice that's on Google is for women. And the shocking thing to me in all of this is, so what, guys don't want to be wanted or guys don't want someone to fall for them? So I just thought it was very gender bias. Therefore, I decided to do a topic that's going to apply to everyone, regardless of your gender, regardless of your sexual preference, regardless of your relationship status. And here is why. You see, the stereotype or the bias is basically that once you get into a relationship or once you get married, you have that commitment and you can just kick back and relax and stop putting in any effort towards that relationship or even towards yourself because now you have someone that's supposed to love you unconditionally. And I'm actually making quotation marks with my hands. And I wish I was video recording this episode so you guys can see me being cynical as I'm sharing some of these comments, because the reality couldn't be further from the truth. The divorce rate is over 51%. So I don't know why people keep assuming that they don't have to put in any effort to be desirable when the divorce rate is so high. There are no guarantees. So just because you get into a relationship with someone doesn't mean that you're going to stay together forever. Breakups happen every day. Just because you get married doesn't mean that you're not going to be part of this stat that's 51%. So that's why I think this topic is so, so, so important, because it applies to literally everyone. So whether you're out there playing the field and just looking to attract people, or you're looking to make sure that your relationship stays on par and on the right course, you can take all of these advices that I'm going to give in today's episode. All right, so I narrowed it down to 8 tips to get someone to want you. Now, if you're in a relationship, obviously you can put more of an effort on some of these recommendations versus if you're just looking to date. So take it and apply it to your situation as it makes sense. All right, so let's kick it off. 8 tips, here we go. First, if you want someone to desire you or to desire more of you, then the first advice that I'm gonna give you guys is work on your appearance. I've spoken about this in countless other episodes. Appearance matters. It really, really does. Even if someone is madly in love with you and you guys have been together for 30, 40 years, appearance matters. Don't look like the same person that they met 30, 40 years ago. Change things up. You don't want to be part of that furniture that somebody just enters the house and just knows that it's there but doesn't pay any attention to it. No. You want to be the off-the-rack designer suit or the next season's fall collection that's released ahead. So a big misconception with appearance is that you have to be attractive. And I can personally attest to this because I've seen this happen so many times. In my experience, I've seen men do this more so than women, but obviously this can be applied to both genders. You don't have to be really attractive naturally. Thank God for cosmetics. Thank God for clothes. Thank God for accessories that anyone can make themselves look more desirable. Work on your appearance. And if you're looking for some sort of what can I do? I mean, a starting point is just start with your hygiene, people. I know I spoke about this in last week's episode too, but it is so important. It is such a major turnoff when someone can't even use the basic soap, water, and deodorant. I mean, literally, those three things combined together will cost you a couple of bucks, a couple of pounds, a couple of shillings, wherever you're at, and they will work wonders. So start there. After that, wherever you're at, you know, and here's the thing. We all know what we look like, right? Like, we know if we're a three, we're aware of the fact that we're a three. We've gotten some kind of feedback from the opposite gender or the same gender, if that floats your boat. And we know what we look like. But that doesn't mean that you can't go from a three to a six. Start with your basic hygiene. Update your wardrobe. Lose a couple of pounds. Try a different hairstyle. I mean, I can just go on and on and on. And continue to reinvent yourself and have fun with it. The beautiful thing about appearance is it's always going to be changing because styles are changing. Your taste will be changing. So you should always look at that as a fun opportunity to just continue to reinvent yourself. And like I said, even if you're married, who wants to be married to the person that looks exactly the same? And I don't care if you're like a bombshell and you're like a Victoria's Secret model or you are in GQ magazine. You look at the same thing. It's kind of like if you eat steak, right? You could have the best damn piece of steak. You freaking love the steak. It tastes so damn good. Eat that same steak every single day. You're going to get sick and tired of it. Now, take that steak, make a burger out of it. Take that steak, chop it up, and put it on tacos. Now that steak is different. Now that steak is not boring. And that is why your appearance matters. Put effort, put thought into your appearance. One disclaimer that I'll give you. If you have recently broken up with someone, or if you're just not feeling good with yourself, people, that is not the time to experiment. Stay away from any scissors, any dyes, any tattoos. Make appearance decisions when you feel so, so, so good about yourself. And I promise you, the more you work on yourself and on your appearance when you look in the mirror, that's going to help you with the tip number two, which is your package. Your package is basically everything that you are all about. Generally, package comes into three different sizes. And guys, no, we're not talking about your package. I'm talking about the package that you bring forward to the world. Most of the times when we evaluate people on three things. It can be intellect or smartness or common sense. That's one. Then it's usually their appearance, which is part of the package, two. And then the third thing generally is their wealth or somebody that can provide. So it's usually appearance. It's usually in terms of what kind of wealth or what kind of job do you do. And then the third would be, you know, it could be your education level. That's part of it. Sometimes people value health and fitness, but that's generally the pie. So once you work on your appearance, the second thing I want you to focus on is your total package. Where do you see room for improvement? For example, you could be really, really successful. You could be really good looking, but you feel a little bit inadequate in the sense that you didn't get that high school diploma, or you didn't get that degree, or you feel like you're lacking in certain skill set. Well, work on that. Work on that. And don't be shy in sharing that with people, because self-awareness is attractive. Nobody is perfect, and you don't have to be perfect. Your package doesn't have to be a stellar 10 on 10 for your entire life. You're going to have ups and downs. Your package might change. Maybe education is not a big priority to you. Maybe money means more to you, and you feel more fulfilled or more whole if you feel like you can provide, or if you bring money to the table. So whatever is your package, work on that so you feel really, really good about yourself. Which brings me to tip number three, confidence. If you worked on your appearance, if you worked on your package, then automatically you should be confident in who you are and in how you look and in what you bring to the table. So confidence is key. And it is so attractive. I mean, think about yourself. If you had two people that you were sort of entertaining and you didn't know who you liked more, I bet you if one person was unsure about themselves or didn't think that they were good enough or were always talking bad or talking down about themselves, they would be less desirable than someone else who is more self-assured, who knew who they were, who knew what they wanted. And you could just feel that they're confident and comfortable in their skin. And that's one thing about confidence that people often forget. You have to feel comfortable in who you are in every area, in how you look, how you speak, how you behave, how you act. You should be confident. When you walk into a room, you should feel really, really good about yourself. And I don't care what you're wearing. Feel damn good about yourself. Now, one caveat to this. Sometimes people get so confident that they become arrogant. And that shit is not attractive. You can have some of the most gorgeous looking people that have a shit ton of money, and then not have people that actually want to be with them. And I'm doing quotation marks again. The reason for that is cockiness is not sexy. Arrogance is not sexy. And if you're in a room where you are talking highly of yourself and you're belittling other people, or you're acting that you're far better than them, that takes away from your attractiveness and from your package. So there's a fine line between being confident and putting down other people or being arrogant. So just be mindful of that. Because in the past, when I have helped people get more confident, sometimes unknowingly, I've sort of created a monster that's just very full of themselves, and that's not attractive. If you want someone to want you, nobody wants someone who's like conceited, who's self-absorbed, who is full of themselves. No. Be confident in who you are, but also be humble in the fact that you are not the shit in every room all the time. Okay, the next thing, sign number four, is communication. And this is something that people often leave out when they think about being desirable to someone else. You see, it doesn't matter if you just want to be with someone for like one day, one night, one week, one month, or the rest of your life. If you want to attract someone to you, you have to be able to hold up a conversation. There's nothing that's a bigger turnoff than meeting somebody that is everything and more. And then they open their mouth and you're like, oh my God. I can't even get through a sentence with this person without wanting to take a gun and shoot myself. Guys, I'm kidding. We don't promote violence here. So be sure to work on your communication skills. And let's get real. Not everyone is a born great communicator. And even if you are, there's other ways that you can improve yourself. For example, I took a communications class back in the day because I realized that in certain social settings, it was harder for me to express myself. So I had to get enough self-awareness to say, hey, this is something that I feel like I can be better at, but these are the skills that I'm missing. I need to go out and find those skills. And here's what happened. By being self-aware about what was missing in me, and by going out and filling in those missing pieces, I was able to boost my confidence because I felt really great about walking into any situation and having a conversation. And actually, one of the things that I've gotten a lot of feedback on is that, where most people that would know me now don't even know that I did that once upon a time, because I worked out the issue or the lack that I felt that I had. And I made sure that my package was complete by going out and getting the right resources that I needed. So communication is so, so, so crucial. And you can't just communicate where it's one way. Communication is a two-way street. So sometimes what I've seen is people that want to be desirable or that think that they're desirable, they tend to have a lot of communication, which is one way, where they're just talking about themselves, how great they are, what they do, or where they're headed in life, or what they're working on, but they don't take the time to listen. Communication is a two-way street. As much as you are going to talk, you also leave time and leave room for someone else to express themselves and contribute to the conversation. Because here's what happens if it's a one-way communication. You come across as arrogant, as inconsiderate, as self-absorbed, and, you know, fill in the blanks, where that's not a attractive quality to the other person. So sign number four, communication, but work on communication as a two-way conversational streak. And if you feel that you're shy or you run out of topics, then definitely prep ahead. For example, if you're going to go on a date and you know that you run out of things to talk about, watch some YouTube videos as to what are some of the great conversations that you should be having on your first date. Think about some of the interesting things about yourself that you want to share, and also think about some of the things that you want to ask the other person that you might be curious about. So then that way you're fostering conversation with this person. And would you believe that the more comfortable you make someone feel when they're talking to you, the more attractive you become in the other person's eyes? The other tip that I'll give with communication is mirroring. This is a secret, a well-kept secret that works wonders. If you want someone to be more attracted to you or to like you a little bit more, let's say, you know, if it's an interview or a non-romantic situation, mirror the individual. Psychologically, what that does is when we see someone who mirrors our actions, we feel closer to that person. And there's more of a trust and there's a more of an intrinsic bond that starts to form without us even realizing, because we are familiar with that type of body language or with those types of words. Which is also why when two people get together in a relationship, you'll start to notice that they start to do things that are similar in the type of words that they use or the type of actions that they use or the type of sense of humor that they both kind of develop. And the reason for that is mirroring. The only bit of advice or caution that I would give is don't mimic someone. If it's very obvious that you're copying somebody else's, whether it's a hand gesture or body language, and the person notices it because it's that obvious, then that's uncomfortable and that's not going to end well for you. So mirror subtly, but don't mimic. Because mimicking is borderline insulting and just rude. So that's the only disclaimer I'll give with that. All right, sign number 5. You need to have boundaries. And this is something that if you're looking to attract someone, they need to know about these boundaries. Now, that doesn't mean that you're going on a first date and you're telling the person, well, if you do this or if the person did this, then I would just leave them and I won't talk. No. Having boundaries is also something that stems from confidence. If you're confident enough in yourself and who you are, then you will have self-respect for yourself. And that means that there are certain boundaries that you will either directly communicate or you will indirectly show. And I would say you could call it having boundaries or having standards, but I hate to use the word standards because that has a negative connotation in the sense that it automatically makes someone seem high maintenance or someone seem conceited. So that's the reason why I chose the word boundaries, because I feel like it's not as in your face, but standards, I think, is another good way to kind of put this. Because if you're talking to someone or if you're in a relationship with someone, that person should know what your soft and hard limits are. And yes, I love referencing 50 Shades of Grey. So you're, but the, you know, in not that sense, we're not talking about sex here. We will one day, but not here. So having the hard and the soft limits is basically things that you're okay with and you will accept versus things that are a big no-no. And this could be anything from the way the person speaks to you, the pet names that they give you, the way that they treat you, how do they make you feel in a relationship. And oftentimes we tell people what our boundaries or what our standards are without even communicating. Like, for example, for women, when they go out on dates, I always tell women to do this, and I'm old school, so I know we're in 2020, we're all equal, so take this as an example, you know, with a grain of salt. I always tell women that if you're going out on the first couple of dates, and if it's somebody that you want to have a relationship with, then wait for the guy to get up and open the door. And that doesn't mean that the guy actually will. There's some dudes that will sit in the car and they will not get up. They will not open the door. But that tells you a lot about that person. You see, these actions aren't meant to be gender specific in the sense that you want to make a gender do X, Y, and Z. But it tells you a lot about a person. For example, I had a conversation with one of our former guests when we were just walking down the sidewalk, and he insisted on walking on the left-hand side because that's the side that's closer to the street. So by walking on that side, it was actually more of a sign of protection or being protective of the female that he was with, rather than him just being like, oh, I want to walk on the left side. So in that sense, certain things that you can do can let the other person know how you like to be treated in a relationship or how you like to be treated when you're dating somebody. And what that helps the other person do is just understand a little bit more about who you are and what your values are. And now, obviously, there's clear deal breakers. Like, if you're not someone that's going to be with a person that's dating, you know, everyone and their mother or their father, then those are the things that you may just need to come out and communicate. But there's subtle ways of giving hints to people that lets them know how you want to be treated and what do you expect from this interaction with them. Sign number 6, or tip number 6, is know what you bring to the table. I have heard this phrase so many times. I know what I bring to the table because I am the table. And oftentimes the people making these sort of claims bring nothing to the table. But that's a different topic of conversation. Know your worth. Know who you are. And know what exactly are you bringing to the table that that person can't find anywhere else. And I'm going to clue you in on something. if the only thing you're bringing to your table is your body, and you think that, that the other person can get that somewhere else, you're sadly mistaken. So find out, what is the one thing that you can give to this person? Why would they want to be with you over 8 billion people on this planet? What do you have that no one else has? And I'm going to give you a little bit of a tip. Each one of us has something that's very, very unique to us. Maybe at the surface level, a lot of the women seem the same or a lot of the men seem the same. But when you dive a little bit deeper, there obviously people are very different. They're very, very unique. So what you bring to the table could be your sense of humor. It could be the fact that you look at the world differently. It could be the fact that you're a very sweet, genuine person. And, you know, whether somebody's in a relationship with you or they're just courting you or they're dating you. So that is something that would set you apart from everyone else that's stacked up at the exact same level as you. But then this is the one thing that gives you an edge. Take time to know what that is, because it's different for different people. And you can have more than one thing about you. And sometimes people think that what you bring to the table has to be something like over the top, awesome. They can't find it anywhere. No. Sometimes it could be like your weirdness, your way of telling jokes. Like, for example, I'll use myself as an example because I think I'm the easiest person for me to pick on. I am not good at telling jokes. If anyone has ever heard me tell a joke, I forget the punchline. I don't remember the timing. And I screwed up. That's just it, which is also why I don't tell a lot of jokes. And sometimes when I make people laugh, I'm not trying to be funny. But that is something that is very unique to me, that I've made people laugh by telling a bad joke or by telling a joke the wrong way. And that has made me more attractive to the other person versus if I did know how to tell a joke correctly. So you see how in this example, this is not a traditional what I bring to the table, and it's not really what you would think would set me apart, but it does. And it's the fact that I'm different in that sense. So think about yourself and think about like three things that set you apart that you think, and think back to your experiences, that you think are something that nobody else has. And keep those three things in mind, because it's going to be important to you, it's going to be important for you, that when you're interacting with someone that you're looking to attract, or you looking to talk to somebody that you want them to want you more, that you highlight these things, because that paints you in a positive light. Like in my example, you would not think that someone who can tell jokes would make somebody laugh, or that would be something that would make them desirable. But you know what? It works. It works for me. So I do take the liberty of telling jokes sometimes, knowing full well that I'm terrible at it. But that's my sweet spot. That's my ace. All right. So next. This is actually really, really important. And this is tip number 7. How do you make another person feel? And the reason why this is so important is because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how fabulous you are, how great you are at being the total package, or how confident you are about yourself. Nobody wants to be around someone that doesn't make them feel good about themselves. And that's just the bottom line. I'm sure we've all seen real life relationships where there's two people together. One of them is as happy as can be, and the other one is just miserable. And you could take a step back and be like, wow, but that partner is everything that somebody would want. But you can see that whoever they're with, they're not happy with them. And if you pay close attention to the interactions between these two people, you realize that one person doesn't feel good about themselves in a relationship or while they're dating the other person. And it just, to me, is mind-boggling how this does not come up in terms of people giving advice to someone that's trying to attract a person. Because this is everything. If there's one thing that I think matters more than anything else on this list of 8 tips, I would say it's number 7. Because if you make someone feel really good about themselves, if you make them feel loved and supported and desired, that person's going to want to be around you. But if you make someone feel like shit every time they're around you, and this is not even about romantic connections, this could even be in friendships, why the hell would somebody want to be around you? That's just a no-brainer. And I've actually seen in dates where one person's just going on and on and on about themselves and is all about themselves and just thinks that they're a blessing to this other person. And you could just tell that the other person, even though they're with this fabulous individual out or they're dating this person, they're just not happy. Because if you don't make somebody feel good about themselves and more confident in themselves and happy around you, they're not going to want to be there. It's kind of like a ticking time bomb. That thing is going to expire. So it is so critical to make sure that you create positive experiences. You are supportive. You listen. You give great advice. And that's not to say that all of these qualities or all of these traits need to be innate in you. But all of us are a work in progress. So if there's areas where you see that whoever you're looking to attract, that there's a missing link in there, then work on yourself and work on sharpening your own skill set so then that way you could be a better partner. And here's the kicker. Even if you're not looking to date someone, let's just say you're just trying to get somebody in bed and you just want to be desirable to like an end. Still, it matters how you make the person feel. Now, some of those feelings might be more physical, but it matters. So for you to be more desirable, for you to be wanted, make sure you take some of those positive vibes and great feelings and you make whoever's with you experience that same sort of euphoria that you'd want to feel. And think about ourselves too, right? If somebody doesn't make us feel good about ourselves, who cares how attractive they are? Who cares how much money they have on the planet? Because if we feel like shit, all of the money in the world doesn't mean anything. Because you could be dripped in gold and still feel like garbage. And then, like, what does it even matter? So this, I think, is definitely the most important thing, is how you make another person feel. One thing that I will say, don't be a doormat. Don't do everything for the other person because you want them to feel great and then you feel like garbage. No, it has to be a balance where both of you, whenever you come together, whether you're just hanging out, whether you're just going out, whether you want this person to ask you out, but you're just a friend with that person right now. Every interaction that you have, think about it as like a real estate where it's like you got to capitalize on that. And you got to make sure the experience is memorable and it's positive. And this doesn't stop just after you get into a relationship with someone. In fact, I think relationships and marriages are much more hard work than it is to date somebody because there's just more at stake. And you've already done like the baby thing. So now you really got to up your game. So it's just so crucial to make the other person feel great about themselves. The last tip that I have is number 8. And this one can actually be used or can be interpreted in a variety of different ways. So apply this to your situation as you see fit. So tip number 8, sign number 8, is what kind of future do you present? And is that something that's attractive to this person? So think about when you first meet someone, you start to get a sense of who they are and how they are. And after a couple of interactions, we can sort of predict And I'm not saying you're always right about it, but we can sort of predict what the future with this person would look like. Maybe you can imagine what kind of job would they have, how much would they earn, where could you see yourself living, what kind of life would you have. But generally, after getting to know the person, we can get a sense of what to expect from being with that individual. And if you're looking to attract someone, you want to make sure that whatever that future is desirable. So I'll give you a good example. If I want to attract someone and I want that person to have a long-term committed monogamous relationship with me, and I know that that person loves to eat, then maybe one of the ways that I want to paint a good future together is take up some cooking lessons. So that person's like, you know what? I can get used to waking up to breakfast that's like this, or I could get used to coming home to dinner that tastes this good. That would be kind of nice. Or if you're big into traveling, you want to paint a picture of going like, you know what? I love to go to these types of places. It'd be so cool if we took that trip, and have that other person mentally just sort of picture themselves on this trip with you. And here's the reason why I'm telling you to do this. One, if that person sees that future and likes that future, they're going to be more attracted to you, and they will start to put in a little bit effort into dating you or being exclusive or being more committed to the relationship. But what that also does on top of that is it gives them something to look forward to. Like, think about dreams. You know what's so beautiful about us dreaming is the fact that we want it, and it's so good. And there's that hope in our hearts that says that dream can be a reality one day. And if I do X, Y, and Z, that dream can be mine, and I can actually live it out. And that's sort of what you want to project. You want to be that person that's not only great in this moment, but 10, 15, 20, 30 years from now, you will still be that great catch. And that future, you want it to be that your person of interest looks at that future as a dream, as something beautiful and wonderful that they would want. And then how do they get there? Well, they start by getting you. So if the person likes what the future looks with you, they are likely to invest more of their time, energy, money, resources, whatever, into you, because that future looks amazing to them. And that's what you want to be. You want to be not just the best damn thing today. You want to be the best damn thing next week, next month, next 5 years, next 10 years. And how are you going to get that? You're going to follow all of the tips from 1 to 7 that I shared with you. And then the end result is this beautiful dream that you are in that this person would want. So I hope you guys found this episode helpful. Obviously, there's so many other tips, guys, that I can share as to how to make yourself more attractive or desirable to your person of interest. But I figured that I just gave a shortened list, things that you can work on. And obviously, as time goes on, I'm going to try to elaborate more on this stuff and add more tips to the mix. But hope you guys found this helpful. Hope you guys are as excited about today. Like I said, the coffee I had, but it wasn't that much. So I hope you're also high in life, you know, find something really, really beautiful, something to be thankful for in every single day. And by having that feeling, watch how amazing the rest of your day turns out. Because when you vibrate on a higher frequency, you attract the best things in life. And let's start attracting the best person for you. Or if you're already with somebody amazing, let's work hard to make sure that person wants to be in your life and you guys have an amazing relationship together. So on that note, this is your host, Miss Anonymous. Until next time, you're now checked out of the rehab. Bye, guys.